Welcome back to Edge Got In podcast. We're very excited to jump back in. We've taken a little bit of a break here, working on getting the technical aspects in line, and we're back by God's grace. Okay. Thank you for joining us today. Dr. Stella, it's great to serve with you again in this podcast.
Praise God. Yes, yeah. It only gets better in the Lord, and we needed some time to do that. So thank you, God.
Absolutely. So we're going to jump in today. We have a fun topic, releasing the power struggle. This is God's word on slander, judgment, and quarrels. Anybody got anything in that area going on in your life? Any slander, judgment, and quarrels? Just hop on social media these days, and I'm sure you'll see plenty of it. Just saying. So this is definitely a loving check from the Lord to kind of bounce us back into that place where we remember, that's right. I forgot. I thought I was here for me, and I'm here for you, God. Mm-hmm. I'm your ambassador. Please make your appeal through me. Dear Lord, too often we are so quick to hear the sounds of the world that we get distracted. The power struggle edges out your calm patience. Your responses that replace our desire to enfold ourselves and others in your kind, patient, and gentle love of your presence. I often find myself spinning around in negative judgments toward myself and others. Enter into our mind and shine the light of your peace into the crevices of darkness that harbor the serpents of slander, judgment, and quarreling. Your grace is our salvation and saves us again and again from ungodly expressions that result from our need to be right, liked, and understood, which expresses itself in blaming, shaming, and criticizing ugly behavior. Forgive us, Lord. We know not what we do. Nothing thrives in a state of war. Give us the grace to step away from the power struggle, the positionality that too often sabotages the relationships we care most about. More of you, God, less of us. It is for freedom that you have set us free. Grant us the grace to stand firm and not allow ourselves to be burdened by the yoke of slavery to the power struggle and to positionality. We are your ambassadors. Make your appeal through us today. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, ignite your fire within us. Amen.
Amen.
God's word on slander. Here we go. Our last podcast actually was how to feel secure in the midst of insecure times. And we also had one on releasing the bondage. You can explore those two as well. In this Edge God podcast, you'll learn specific scriptures and practices to help you step away from the power struggle that fuels ugly talk, stone throwing, and combat behavior and communication. So as I mentioned before, we've seen a little bit of this, right, Dr. Stella?
Oh, yes. Daily. Unfortunately, daily.
Yeah. It's amazing. It really is.
It is that way. But, you know, today we're going to learn something that's going to hopefully help us all overcome this. As Lauren mentioned, nothing thrives in the state of war, and we're in this power struggle daily. We're put into situations where many times together, alone in groups, we compete for control. You know, and I know it sounds familiar to you because it's so familiar to me, Lauren. I mean, I constantly compete, even sometimes within myself, for this power struggle, and it reflects in what I do. So, This actions and this reactions that we have causes us to attempt to gain control over other people, perspectives and beliefs. We just go into this state of chaos. Mm. We want to be right. We want to be liked and understood. And we act ignorant and play out of that because of this unnecessary fight. So it helps us to recognize this because it really affects countless relationships that we have to struggle with because we're put in the midst of this.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Those countless relationships have truly dissolved in the petri dish of the power struggle. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if we allowed other people to be different from us? I mean, literally, like including having different perspectives of the same situation, how much headspace that would literally clear up for us to fill with the presence of God.
I imagine it being a beautiful place. And I think that it's interesting because I think that you and I have different perspectives on things, mm-hmm. or sometimes most of our things are in agreement, though. I think when you're biblically yoked, most of the things you agree with, it's almost like the same with my parents. He liked fishing, she liked opera, but mm-hmm. they both were, you know, their basis and their belief systems were the same. Mm-hmm. But I think that if it's a wonderful thing to be able to agree to disagree, you know, and, mm-hmm. and try to fight over one another and to be heard.
Well, judgment repels and love draws in.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so we're in a position where of forgetfulness. Mm-hmm. It's amnesia, that we have forgotten that we belong to God, that we were created in his likeness and image, literally to glorify him through our words, thoughts, deeds, and actions. We are his ambassadors, and he's making his appeal through us. I know that I've forgotten this many different times, mm-hmm. that I think that I am my own ambassador, and I'm making my appeal through me for my positionality. And I have forgotten that I'm on God's time. And literally gotten spun out of a place of peace as a result of defending my positionality. And that is a place where the serpents play.
Yes. And why are we doing this? Why do we have all this?
What's up with that?
With quarreling and judgment. We know why, right? Mm-hmm. We're fighting a battle that may not be visible to us, but it's real, right? Sometimes mm-hmm. It's hidden in disguise. Sheeps with wolf clothing, you know, it's like, yeah. you know, it's hidden, but it's the all about fear, right?
Wolves. I do that same thing. I just flipped out this link. I was with you. It could wolves. Be that way as well. You never know. Yeah. But I'm with you.
But it's the fear factor, right?
Yeah, it is.
The fear of this unpleasant emotion that we're fearing this, and it's dangerous. Mm-hmm. It causes pain and threat. And, you know, it keeps us out of that place of calm, you know? Mm-hmm.
We only have three responses when we literally are in the primal brain, or refer to it as the animal planet space. We only have three responses, either to fight, flight, or freeze. And that's manifested in the behavior of stonewalling, ugly talk, or defensive behavior.
Amen.
And so as we become, shine the light of our awareness on this, we step mm-hmm. off the stage of drama. And we find ourselves in a position to be able to adjust our behavior to align with our identity in Christ. When we're on the stage, that's where the amnesia kicks in. And we forget, and we think that we are the position that we take. And so we defend it with our life. And we see that happening continually all throughout the day. And this is the playground of Satan. It's Satan's playground for divisive behavior. He's the great deceiver and the great divider.
Oh yeah.
And as much as he can play in that space to divide us, mm-hmm. it's like Animal Planet, right? It's cutting the weaker zebra from the pack. If he could divide us, then we're not where two or more are gathered, there Christ is. So it's this division amongst believers. Mm-hmm. It's really not surprising in our times, but
and that's really needs to really change quickly, mm-hmm. because there's going to be a time when this stuff that we think is important doesn't matter, and really, really matters is being able to speak up in behalf of the Lord. Mm. And if we spend too much time on this unnecessary stuff,
trinkets
that don't mean anything, mm-hmm. We won't be able to come together when the real war comes, and the real war is coming.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So this, we need to really reflect on that. And there's another thing we talked about we need to really reflect on too is, and here's a question. Do I feel safe in conversations where the receiver of the dialogue stands in a different positionality?
Great question.
Do I feel safe? Mm-hmm. How about you, Lauren? Do you feel safe?
Literally, to be totally straight up with you, mm-hmm. when there's a strong opposition, my body starts feeling it.
Yes.
Like I literally, my stress response starts going up, and that's when I know I have an attachment to my position. mm-hmm. my body doesn't get involved, then that lets me know I don't have an attachment and I'm off the stage of drama. When my body gets involved, my face gets flushed, my intonation changes from one of love to one of defensiveness or ugly talk, then I know I have an attachment to my positionality.
I agree.
Render myself completely vulnerable to the attacks of the devil who's prowling around looking to devour me, because then I've forgotten that I'm not here. I think I become my own ambassador for my positionality rather than Christ's ambassador for his position of salvation. And that's major. And that's one of those situations that gives us the opportunity. If how do you answer that question? For those of you who are listening to this podcast, I'll pose the question again. Do you feel safe in a conversation where the receiver of the dialogue stands in a different positionality? Just sink into that. The last time that you went experienced that, if your response to this question is yes, then it reveals an attachment, which is an emotional state of clinging due to the belief that without some specific outcome or thing, or someone jumping to my side or needing to be understood, which is a huge fuel. I need you to understand me to know I'm okay. Then we render ourselves extremely vulnerable to attack. So what are you afraid of losing? If I offer the receiver of my conversation grace and safe space to voice their different perspectives, what are you afraid of losing? Every time you choose to engage in an argument of positionality, specifically positionality, consider it an opportunity to identify and adjust your perspective from I'm right and you're wrong into a simple prayer. Dear God, how can I make you recognizable in this conversation? Grant me the grace of safe space and respect so that this person feels your love for them over my need to be right, win, and override their perspectives. Help me to love first and then lead, as you will guide me. I am your ambassador, and you are making your appeal through me. Too often, I'm making my own appeal through myself. Another question, when you get flared up, when you get spun, again, stress is the power you give to outside circumstance to define your worth, your value, and what you believe you are capable of handling successfully, is to simply pause. When the body gets involved, remember, it reveals an attachment. You need a certain outcome to know you're safe, connected. And so when that body gets involved, the heart starts going, just to pause and say, can I take this with me beyond the pine box?
Yes.
Can I take this with me beyond the pine box? It's just a quick little perspective shifter. So we're at the point of reflection. We've just kind of laid it out here. We kind of follow an Edge Got In, and you can get the standardized one sheet template for our podcast Bible studies at edgegodin.com, and resources. You can kind of see that with each podcast, you will see the exact posting of that we're using in terms of the script, your audio. You got the audio part of it, and then you can also read it if you'd like to do that. So these are some things that we're learning about. Let's move to the reflection.
Yeah,
Dr. Stella, how do you reflect on this?
Well, you know, it's we need to all reflect on what happens and what annoys us. First of all, a quarrel is an angry argument or disagreement, typically between people who are usually and a lot of times on good terms. I know some of my most heated arguments are sometimes with people I love, right? Mm-hmm. So what annoys or frustrates us in conversations, that's usually an indicator of an opportunity on how we communicate and how we can get ourselves to a place of calm. There's a healthy, powerful protocol put forth by Harvey Hendricks and Helen Hunt in their book, Making Marriage Simple, that creates a safe space in conversations to communicate about desired behavior with one other person from a place of healthy sender messages, responsibility, and passionate our compassionate, rather, receiver responsibility. So basically, it's the sender and the receiver of messages and how you send those messages. And it's something that we can, it's a great book to pick up. I know Lauren shared it with me and I had opportunity to skim through it, and it's really good. But what causes fights and quarrels among you is a question you might want to ask yourself. Does it come from your desires to battle within you? Do you have a desire? But don't have desire, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask. That's a big one, right? When you ask, you do not receive because you're asking the wrong motives, with the wrong motives that may spin you to get your pleasure. So that comes from James. Basically, what causes you to fight?
You know, that's a great scripture.
It's a huge one. I mean, I know I have to kind of center myself and think, what is this really about? And it's funny that when you're in these arguments and these fights, sometimes the reason behind it is really kind of senseless.
And to ask the Lord, just Lord, sift me. Help me to see how ridiculous I can be sometimes. I mean, just like slow it down in slow motion so I can really see when my ego is flaring up.
Oh, yeah. And there's a couple of scriptures to read. There's 1 Corinthians 3:3. You're still worldly. Since there is jealousy and quarrel among you, you're not worldly, and you're not acting like mere humans. Mm-hmm. Another one, Proverbs 15:18. A patient man calms a quarrel. Proverbs 17:19. He who loves a quarrel loves sin. And we don't love sin, do we?
You know, if we just pause on that one.
Oh, yes.
I think I'm going to post that one.
I know.
But see, I actually refrain from that because I prayed about that. Mm-hmm. Because social media is a very primal place, heated place. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it takes discernment to make sure you have the right motives when you're posting something of positivity. And this takes being in the right space and asking the Holy Spirit to give you the grace to speak the truth in love.
And so I think it also has
as a weapon against somebody else. So you're really, you're showing up like Jesus, the real Jesus.
Right. And I think that sometimes you have to also realize what your trigger is. Mm-hmm. And if something triggers you in the wrong way, don't respond right away in social media, because every fool is quick to quarrel.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, so it's interesting how I used to, the one we stopped on, Proverbs. Who loves a quarrel loves sin. Mm-hmm. I used to always say, I love a nice debate. And I realized that the definition of debate can be misinterpreted, you know. And so a quarrel is very different than a debate, right? But we end up thinking that our debates are not quarrels when they actually are. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's important for us to, when we're thinking about this, to analyze where we are in a situation before we start going down the wrong path.
And that's where we can like check in with the emotional intelligence. And we've done a series on emotional intelligence. Is that up? We have that up, right?
Yeah,
Our four series of emotional intelligence.
Yep. We did with that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did. You know, are you aware of your own emotions? Are you aware when your body gets flared up? How do you manage that? And then are you aware of the emotions of other people? And then how well do you manage their responses to you? Just observing you, practicing a little metacognition, which is thinking about thinking, especially when you're thrown in a situation like you said, Dr. Stella, and I appreciate you bringing that up, because know your triggers. As you know your triggers, then you can remove yourself, as did Joseph, running away from the situation that would get you in trouble.
Yes.
Or cause you to sin, right? Mm-hmm. So whoever loves to quarrel loves to sin. When your heart is racing, when you're feeling defensive and you're feeling like ugly talk is about to spew out of your mouth, run. Turn it off, walk away.
Because we don't want to sin, right?
Mm-hmm. That's a great one to just make a t-shirt out of.
Yeah.
He loves a quarrel, loves sin. Proverbs 17:19.
We don't want to do that. And we also want, 1 Timothy 3:3 says, be gentle and considerate. That's what mm-hmm. we want to be. Mm-hmm. You know, we want, so yeah, sometimes I use listeners' scriptures to ground me. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes I forget, you know, I'll read and I'm like practicing and then something, I get a trigger that hits me and then I turn into this different person that I didn't know.
Well, see, that's again when the ego pushes your godly nature aside and jumps into the steering wheel to be reminded. And that's why it's important to store these scriptures in your heart. 1 Corinthians 3:3, are you still worldly? For since there's jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? So listen, this is the connection. When there's jealousy and quarreling, know that you are occupying a worldly perspective. Are you not acting like mere humans? God is always calling us up and out of our restricted existence, right? So that we could be free, truly to be free. So where do you go when you feel criticized and judged? Do you reach out to your friends and slander the person for judging you? That's an important question to just pause and reflect on. Where do you go? Mm-hmm. When you feel judged and criticized? This is a very common response because we feel hurt and misunderstood. So we gather our posse together to get validation, right? So then we can jump to, without gossip, a quarrel dies down. The way that you choke out that negative response and thinking is cut it off at the source. The source is your attention. So when you keep spinning something around, you keep talking about it, what happens? You gain that negative momentum. And guess what? The brain will follow your lead and will tune into other pieces of information and create a nice verdict that will conclude in judging those people, right? So consider Zacchaeus. Jesus went into his house. He ate with his friends. He ate his food, sat at his table. He did not even say any word. Simply by his actions, he didn't have any accusations, even knowing that he was totally robbing people or any power struggle. He just showed up in complete love and acceptance, because love draws in and judgment repels. It was this experience of this profound acceptance and love in the midst of Zacchaeus' transgressions that flipped him out of the sin, and he stood up at the table and proclaimed and declared, "Today I will pay back everyone that I've stolen from." So his heart was transformed. He had an encounter, he had a repentance experience, and he resurrected. He had a resurrection of his purpose in God. And this is an opportunity for us to really seek an encounter with Christ so that we can repent. Amen. And then we can experience a resurrection, and the shift of behavior will follow. This study has several different scriptures. In terms of the podcast, we're not going to cover all of them, but there's several scriptures. Highly encourage those of you who are listening, just print out the handout that goes along with this. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. This is the kind of scripture from 1 Corinthians 4:13. Memorize these. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. Can you take it with you beyond the pine box? So as we jump to kind of identifying and adjusting, we've learned some information, we've reflected through the scriptures, and now we're going to pause and identify and integrate into our life what we've gone through. So we encourage you to reread the scriptures that are associated with this study and just identify three that speak to you. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit, "Holy Spirit, as I read through these scriptures, help me to be thoughtfully attentive to the opportunity to rid myself of judgments that lead to quarrels and slanderous talk. Help me to remember that I am here as your ambassador, and you are making your appeal for love and salvation in the world through me if I choose to participate. May my words, thoughts, deeds, and actions reflect your appeal, not mine." And then just write down those top three scriptures and simply reflect on them with a few questions. When was the last time I experienced a power struggle in a conversation? Competed for control in a specific conversation? How did you handle that? How would you have wanted to handle it differently? What aspect of a power struggle do I identify with? This is another question. What aspect of the power struggle do I identify with? What is it? What is a trigger for someone may not be a trigger for you. Is it the need to be right, liked, understood? What is your trigger? Do you slander other people when you feel judged or criticized? What is your pushback behavior? Do you beginning to quote scriptures when you start to feel your body getting involved? That's your biggest warning sign. When you start feeling your body, when you start feeling your blood pressure going up, your face flushing, your heart racing, know that you have an attachment to your positionality. And just have high noticing around, again, getting off the stage of drama, so that you can expand the gap between what happens outside of you and your choice of response to it. How do I respond when I find myself in a conversation where the receiver of my information has a different stance or perspective and is communicating in a strong way? So any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think the thing that I always bounce back to is that it's so important to go back to scriptures when you're having something you can't handle.
Mm. Amen. And I'm feeling that more now than ever.
Yeah, it, especially in the times that we live in, because I'm going to tell you what, scriptures are a blessing to have, because at one point, I'm praying that all of us are translated to heaven and we don't have to be here during the war. And we're not left behind. But if you are, you won't even have that opportunity to have scriptures. I mean, and we have so many souls to save before then that it's important that we just use this as a tool to keep us grounded so we can bring people into the fold versus running them away. Mm.
Absolutely. And be bold with your prayers as well.
Yes.
This week, ask the Holy Spirit, "Dear God, I give you permission to reveal to me how I am playing in the power struggle and positionality in a way that does not reflect the power of your Spirit within and through me." Just simply asking that. And again, 1 Corinthians 4:5, reflect on the fact that we are called not to judge anything before the appointed time. We are called and invited in 1 Corinthians 4:5 to wait until the Lord comes. Why? Because he will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart.
Yes.
At that time, each will receive their praise from God or not. So if we increase our confidence in the full and complete awareness that God sees it all, then you don't have to take that role.
No.
And you can step into our role as God's ambassadors. We're literally, as Mother Teresa said, we're called to be missionaries of love.
Yes.
Missionaries of love. This is such a huge calling.
Which is the hardest thing to be.
Yes.
In a world that pushes against it.
Yes.
But
dear
that's
God,
what we're called to be.
Strengthen my weak knees and feeble arms. Give me the grace to remember I'm not here for me. Mm-hmm. And so that I can be relieved of that role of needing to help people to see things in a certain way, to the point where I'm casting stones and restricting God's love in and through me. So we're going to end today with a really powerful powerful practice. And Dr. Stella mentioned this book from Harville Hendricks and Helen Hunt. They've created a safe protocol that supports safety and connection in the midst of conflict. Because many people will say, well, how do I deal with conflict when it comes up, particularly in the household, with those people that we love and people that we're closest to? How do we handle conflict? And this is a worthy practice to reduce the power struggle in relationships. The book that we're pulling from is Making Marriage Simple. Highly recommend this book. Highly, highly recommend this book by Harville Hendricks and Helen Hunt. I've used a lot of the techniques out of there in coaching couples. Very powerful stuff. Explore this behavior change request. I'm just going to lay it out. You can replay this. You can take notes. It's very simple. This change behavior request is a technique that you can use the next time you find yourself face-to-face with behavior that doesn't honor the relationship you care about. So the first step is choose a specific frustration you have experienced with someone you care about and simply ask them, and this is again, this is grace and humility. arts and practices that are being overlooked. And yet it's the very thing that Christ lived and moved and had his being in, grace and humility. So to pause and ask, I'd love to talk with you about a certain request that I have, is now a good time. So asking permission rather than barreling in mm-hmm. to someone's schedule. Ask, is this a good time? If you receive the go ahead, yes, this is a good time. Or if not, ask when would be a good time. So when you're in the midst of conflict, scheduling the time, just as you would any other appointment that's important to you. Mm-hmm. You schedule a mutually agreed upon time. The next step, and
I'm going to chime into that really quickly because it is so important. My daughter and I have a business together. We're very close. She handles, when we have disagreements, she handles things differently than I would. I'm wanting to talk right away and iron it out that second. Mm-hmm. She needs time. So this step is so important. I've learned to do this because I've actually learned the hard way before I read the book and looked through the book. But I learned the hard way of her shutting down mm-hmm. if I don't get permission. Mm-hmm. So that's mm-hmm. what happens a lot of times in relationships. If you don't get permission, they're going to shut down and listen to you. And you're wasting your time anyway.
Absolutely.
So I thought this is a great first step. So I just wanted to interject that.
Well, everybody has their different perspectives as well as their different comfort zone.
Yes.
In terms of processing information. So again, as Jesus was masterful at doing, even mm-hmm. though he knew the blind man wanted healing, he says he still honored the invitation. He said, what do you want me to do for you? Mm-hmm. He would ask for the invitation. Mm-hmm. What do you want me to do for you? So the second step in the change behavior request technique is in as few words as possible, simply state your frustration and avoid dumping. Mm-hmm. This is, and I have to, you know, speak to us women, because sometimes when we open the floodgates, we will literally swamp the men with and this and that. Less is more. Less is more. So be very, very specific. In fact, you can even kind of nail it down. In journalism, they always said, say the same thing in half the words.
Yeah, and don't make it a platform for something that happened months ago. It's right. not a history of, like you say, dumping. It's not, mm-hmm. you know, what happened this specific time that you need to address.
Exactly. Be very, very specific and avoid generalizing mm-hmm. that this is, and as well as universal quantifiers. You always do this. You never do that. That instantly traps the person. Say very specifically, yesterday at 2:00 or in the afternoon when you said this or you did this. So be very, very specific and just simply the receiver then, and this is a joint effort. That's why I encourage couples and people that you care about, learn your role as the sender and the receiver in safe dialogue. So the receiver then practices what's referred to as imago dialogue, which is the image dialogue. You can learn more about that in the book, Making Marriage Simple. Or he's got several other books that talk about imago. So it's mirroring and summary. So you mirror the receiver simply mirrors back what the person says. So if the person says, hey, you know, I'm working all day, you're working as well, and then I come home and the place is trashed. And it makes me feel like you don't care about my efforts because I cleaned it up in the morning. The receiver in that situation would say, okay, so what I hear you saying is, when you come home from work and I've gotten home early, I'll just leave my stuff kind of around and, you know, the place gets messy after you've cleaned up in the morning. Did I get that? So basically it's not time to defend yourself or to come up with excuses or any of that. What we truly desire in conversation is validation. That's it. I hear you. I hear what you're saying. And I see that that's important to you. I care for you. So I'm going to validate that. Did I get that? And then you ask, is there more? If they say no, then you move on to the summary statement.
Yeah, and I have to say that the best way to do this is to be really authentic, because this can be condescending, some of the statements you make like this, if you're not generally feeling it. So I would just caution, you know, although we're talking about relationships with husband and wives, it can happen in any conflict you get into.
Absolutely.
You just want to make sure you're genuine, that you really are empathetic, and that you're restating or repeating dialogue that you really feel, because if it sounds rehearsed or canned, it comes off that way.
Absolutely. And I encourage that. You can start playing with it.
Yes.
Literally, you can start playing with it. Even if the other person's not in the buy-in, if you learn the three statements of simply mirroring and asking somebody, is there more, that statement actually instantly creates a sense of safety in conversation, because it means if you're asking me, is there more, and I'm talking about something, that means it's a validation that you're listening, truly actively listening, especially when you refer to it. It doesn't have to be word for word. So what I hear you saying is this, sum it up and just ask, is there more? Because oftentimes we'll get into the struggle of positionality and we'll start defending ourselves rather than just saying, hey, this is theirs space. I'm not going to rob this conversation.
Exactly.
I'm not going to rob them of my presence in this conversation. So then you move on to, once you do the mirroring and summary, you mirror back, you summarize it, simply ask, is there more to this? They say no. Then you just move on to a validation statement. It's very simple. Simply saying, you make sense to me. That makes sense to me. That would be frustrating, because you've cleaned up this morning, you came home and I left, you know, a bunch of dirty dishes all over the place. So that makes sense to me that would be frustrating for you. And so too often one person shares their point of view and you say your point of view and miss out on validating each other. So the key phrase in the validation step is simply to say, you make sense to me. Now, some people will push back and say, well, it doesn't make sense to me, because what they're saying does not make sense to me. When you say you make sense to me, it doesn't mean that you are in agreement that that's how you'd go about life. All you're doing is basically seeing it from the other person's point of view and stepping out of yourself and stepping into empathy. It makes sense to me that you would feel that way, coming from your perspective, right? But you don't want to add that on, because those can be words. But I'm just explaining it a little bit deeper. But just say, it makes sense to me that you'd be frustrated from that. Mm-hmm. Can't tell you how much this creates levity in conversations.
Oh, yeah.
Be very, very filled with conflict. So the third step is basically make a statement of empathy. You basically say, I can imagine that when I let this happen, you felt frustrated. And did I get that? Did I get how you're feeling? So you're just going a little bit deeper, and it seems rote at first, but when I started practicing this about a year ago, in every conversation, professionally and personally, it is incredible how the value of my conversations shifted. And so I highly recommend you learn the three-step process, which is the mirroring and the summary. You mirror it, ask, is there more? Just give them space to speak, then validate. And it's amazing how when you respond with a kindness and you're not defending and justifying and saying, well, you did this. We usually play the one-upping game. Mm-hmm. And so when you give it that space with the second step of validation, that makes sense to me. You make sense to me. And then I can imagine that was frustrating. Can totally imagine that. And then the last statement is basically you kind of open it up and you say, is there anything I could do to be helpful moving forward? So you throw it back to the other person to provide some options, because a lot of times we'll just leave it. And that's why I like the change behavior request, because the third step officially in this, or the fourth step, would be the SMART request, which is make your request as the sender, very specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time limited. Once the receiver mirrors, validates, and empathizes with you, the sender feels understood and acknowledged. So the receiver then asks for three requests, and the sender answers clearly and specifically with three things that would be helpful. For example, taking the case of messing up, of having the house be messy. Okay. So the person was validated. That makes sense to me that I leave my stuff all over. Is there anything that I can do that would be helpful moving forward in this specific situation? Then the receiver simply, or the sender would simply say in that situation, yes. And then I would state three options. Before you leave, it's very important to me, just put the dishes in the sink with water on them. You know, then the food won't get all crusty, or it'd be just helpful after you use the dishes, just put it in the dishwasher. So I give very specific, I give three different options, and then the receiver can choose which one would work for them. And we're using very simple behavior here in terms of the dishes and messy, but things get very, very, there's a lot of conflict that comes up. That's why you offer three different options. When you're getting into relationships you care about. So you can print this out, learn it. I also wrote an article on this, Imago, Lauren E. Miller. If you Google Imago dialogue, Lauren E. Miller, you'll see a video that I posted with an article on this to kind of walk you through it. On our site, you'll be able to print this out and start practicing this. Does that make sense?
Oh, it's so clear, because for me, it's kind of a twist on a sales technique that we used years ago, you know, just aligning with the customer. And I think so many of these things that are out there, people don't apply and use in their personal lives. Mm-hmm. And it's all about taking these things. You know, the SMART principle, that's a business principle, change models, you know, we all should change. You know, these things need to be implemented in our personal life, because it's so funny. A business is not a business. It's about people, right?
Exactly.
People run the business. And so that's a collection of people and individuals that move an organization. So the bottom line is they're people dealing with other people.
Absolutely.
You know,
and it's interesting. We just expect it to all work out, but everything that excels in life has a process.
A process.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I agree with you, Lauren. I think you should try this, you all. Try it when you're having the conflict. Maybe try it as a prerequisite to the conflict, or like, you know, because sometimes you already know what's going to bother people that you deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were talking about conversations where we disagree. Well, we already know that if we get on the subject and we disagree, then that's going to be inflamed, or we're going to speak on differently on it. So mm-hmm. trying this process will help smooth those situations down as well.
Absolutely. And this is an extra long study. We appreciate those people that have stuck with us through this, simply because we wanted to offer you this specific technique to be able to practice mirroring and summarizing, and then stepping into validation and making a statement of empathy, and then asking for your three requests for behavioral change, and allowing the receiver to be able to choose the one that fits with their schedule, with their personality. It gives them that space rather than you have to do this. So, dear God, thank you so much for this opportunity to identify and adjust our role in Power Plays to better align with the person you've called us to be in the world. Salt and light to the world. Forgive us for forgetting at times that we are safe in you always, and that you have given us the ability to speak the truth in love and compassion, along with offering respect and love in the midst of different perspectives and beliefs. Nothing good has ever come out of a power struggle, and nothing thrives in a state of war. All things beautiful have been achieved by those who dared to believe the best in others, which was the very position that led you to proclaim in the midst of criticism and stone throwing and judgments, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do. Mm-hmm. Help us to release all judgments and criticisms toward ourselves and others, and step into kind, gentle, and compassionate conversations, knowing that we are always safe with you. Surround yourself with people who make you a better person in life. Thank you so much for joining us today. And please explore our site, edgegodin.com, and give them heaven.
Amen.